Welcome, everybody, to our Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. It has certainly been an eventful week in the city of Chicago for football for the Chicago Bears. I am Hub Arkish, the editor and general manager at Pro Football Weekly. Our senior, actually managing editor now, Arthur Arkish, joins me as well. We are brought to you by Loot Crate. LootCrate.com is a place you ought to check out. It is the best surprise you know is coming. And we are also bringing you a new head coach, a new coaching staff. It's coming together as we record. But certainly, Arthur, the story this week has to kind of start and pretty much focus on Matt Nagy, the 16th head coach of the Chicago Bears, the former offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, and the new guy in charge at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, obviously he's going to be judged by wins and losses, real wins and losses, but I think to a man, he won his introductory press conference. It was very impressive. There was a lot of energy. There was a lot of accountability. And I just, it seemed like he has a very clear vision that's going to align with Ryan Pace's. I'm impressed. Ryan Pace talked about innovation, talked about thinking outside the box, and I think we have seen traces of that for sure in the first now four staff hirings, only one of which has been confirmed at the time we're taping this podcast.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll get to the coaching staff in a moment. Obviously, some Vic Fangio conversation as well, and you folks know by the nature of this being a podcast that it was recorded at some point, so we're going to talk about the news that we have as we speak. But I think staying with the initial impressions and introduction of Nagy first, one of the things I really liked about the press conference on Tuesday is you point out that there was some high energy, you know, that he's obviously a guy who's going to be good with communication with players. He talked a lot about communication, but I didn't get the sense that he was trying to sell me a used car. You know, sometimes we get these guys, they come in and the high energy just feels like nothing but high energy, and sure, it's a little too much. It's almost like they're selling themselves. And he seemed very comfortable in his own skin. He talked about how he's going to do the job and what he believes is important, but I didn't feel like he came in to sell himself, and I like that. I didn't want somebody who felt that they needed to come in and win the room, and I think in some respects that's why he won the room.
And Hub, actually, Ryan Pace said just that. Someone can go out there and win a press conference, and that's great, but there needs to be substance behind what they're saying. And Pace detailed their discussions before, of course, the actual hire was made about how Nagy was going to build his coaching staff, but not just here's Coach A, Coach B, Coach C, and Coach D, but how they all will blend together and sort of the thought process behind sort of coming up with this mix. So I came away in a lot of ways, I remember tweeting this at the time, Matt Nagy feels kind of like the antithesis of John Fox. He said he is aggressive in nature. He is a little more than half his age, and he's an offensive coach, obviously. So to me, Ryan Pace was trying to get his, and I'm not saying that he was doing this intentionally, but what he ended up with is someone who is couldn't be further away from John Fox. I think that's part of what's very refreshing. The candor, too, Hub. Tell the listeners about what he said about his Chiefs play calling misstep and owning it. I felt like he wasn't, as you said, kind of trying to sell anyone. He was telling it like it is, and after spending 3 years with John Fox, we were ready for that, I would say.
Yeah, I would caution everybody a little bit on this note, though, because if you think back, John Fox's opening press conference wasn't bad either.
No.
You know, and the difference is that John Fox, having been a head coach in two other places, you know, we were able to have some preconceived notions as to what kind of head coach he was going
Absolutely.
To be. I thought Nagy did a really good job on Tuesday. I thought it was important that he own the play calling. It was an interesting situation because I was on the sidelines for Westwood One for that game and watched Andy Reid a fair amount, and I knew that Nagy had called the plays in the second half because if Reid was doing it, he had to be doing it through mental telepathy. You know, the fact that you have a play sheet, you're the head coach, of course you have a play sheet. He was not talking on that headset nearly enough to be calling plays. And so, you know, Nagy was certainly smart in owning it. I think he also wanted to help take pressure off of his mentor, who he obviously thinks the world of.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I would caution everybody about is that these opening press conferences by nature are kind of hard to screw up. The
sure.
question is, how well do you do? Let's get down the road a little bit. Let's get a couple weeks into Bourbonnais when he's got to deal with the media every day and he's, you know, got all the media demands and the fans' interest in terms of responding to newspaper articles and radio and TV reports, and we'll have a better sense for where he'll be there. What I like about it so far is the incredible references that he brings from Andy Reid and Brad Childress and the people he worked with in Kansas City, Alex Smith, who apparently thinks the world of him. Andy Reid in November called him the best head coaching prospect he's had work with him, and Andy Reid has the best coaching tree in the NFL right now.
Yep, he's got Super Bowl winners and John Harbaugh, coaches of the year, and Ron Rivera. A hot retread who still may land on his feet as a head coach, and Pat Shurmur. The list goes on. Obviously, Sean McDermott just had a great success out of the gate. In a different year, maybe Peterson in Philadelphia is a coach of the year candidate. I know he's a candidate, but maybe he'd be a favorite. So yes, the track record speaks for itself. And actually, Nagy, when he was posed that question by our pal Bob Legear, he had a little bit of humor tinge in his response. He said, "Oh well, that I don't remember exactly what he said, but he's like, 'Oh, big deal,' or 'That's no pressure at all,' and kind of got a nice response from the crowd." But it's clear that Andy Reid has had a huge effect on the way that Nagy is going to coach, on the way he said he's kind of matured as an adult, and that's a good one. I mean, that kind of makes this somewhat of a calculated risk by Ryan Pace when you're going back to that track record of success that we already know about.
One of the things that Nagy and Ryan Pace talked extensively about was acknowledging the importance of putting together his staff, knowing how critical that's going to be. And it is one of the things that you start a little concerned with a younger, less experienced coach. Now Ryan Pace talked about how impressed he was in the interview that Nagy only had his list of guys, his hot list, his ready sheet, and explained why they were the right guys for the job, but also explained how he saw them fitting together and the importance of continuity on his staff. Well, some of those dominoes have started to fall. As we record, we know that Harry Hystand is going to be the Bears' offensive line coach. We believe that Mark Helfrich is going to be his offensive coordinator and that Chris Tabor is going to be his special teams coordinator. Those haven't been confirmed by the Bears yet, but that's probably going to happen anytime, shortly after we record this podcast. So taking them one at a time, because Hystand has been confirmed, as I'm guessing some of our listeners know, I do a 3-hour pre and 2-hour post-game show for the Bears on The Score in Chicago every week, 670thescore.com for our web followers. And my partners on the post-game show are two of the best offensive linemen with the Bears in the modern era, James Big Cat Williams and Olin Krutz. Olin Krutz in particular, during the course of the last couple of years, has talked to me about Harry Hystand, somebody who coached him with the Bears. Hystand came to the Bears in 2005, the year they won the NFC North under Lovey, and then went to the Super Bowl the following year. And Olin Krutz talks about him as one of the best offensive line coaches in the business. And the fact that was Nagy's first hire, I think, is pretty impressive.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think it was certainly well received universally. And our colleague Greg Gabriel, of course, spent 9 years as the Bears College Scouting Director, confirmed this morning that other teams were pursuing Hystand as well. So that kind of tells you a little something about Nagy's ability to sell himself and what the Bears have. And I don't think it's out of bounds to say this: the Bears offensive line underachieved last year as an expensive unit. It's got Pro Bowlers. You had the extension with Charles Leno, and granted, injuries played a huge role in that, of course, with Kyle Long and all the kind of the ripple effects that created of people moving around. But if the Bears want to get this offense up to speed to get it to be competitive alongside the defense, we knew that offensive line coach was going to be a huge first hire, and it does appear he nailed it. You mentioned Olin Krutz. He earned both of his all-pro bids while he was working with Harry Hystand. And Hub, we should mention, too, the name is escaping me, so I apologize, but three out of the first four hires now by Matt Nagy are all coming back to the Bears for second stints after being under Lovie Smith as part of his staff. So I think it's just coincidence. I wouldn't worry about it, Bears fans, but it is sort of funny. I tweeted last night, I'm kind of waiting for Jeremy Bates or Pep Hamilton to be named the offensive coordinator. Again, guys, I was kidding, and I wouldn't worry about this. I think the early returns are very positive as this staff starts to come together.
Yeah, Tabor worked as the assistant under Dave Taub with special teams. Yep. Of course, Hystand, the offensive line coach. There is a report of a running back coach to be hired.
He was with the Texans last year. I don't know why.
I didn't pick up. I heard that getting out of the car, and it's not been confirmed yet. But you'll get all that as soon as it happens. The bottom line is that he's putting together a very well-respected staff so far. And I don't, I can say with almost certainty that the fact that so many of these guys are ex-Bears has absolutely nothing to do with it. I don't think that's the approach. Harry Hystand had been at Notre Dame the last 5 years, done an outstanding job there. Coached Ronnie Stanley, he coached Zach Martin before he got to the Dallas Cowboys.
And now Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey.
Yeah, he's got two first-round picks coming this year. Nelson probably a top 10. Well, maybe not top 10 only because he played guard at Notre Dame. Don't know where he'll play in the NFL. So an excellent hire. And then the other one that is intriguing to a lot of people is Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, who was the offensive coordinator, assistant head coach under Chip Kelly at Oregon, became the head coach there when Kelly left. The head coaching thing didn't go so well, but a highly respected, innovative offensive mind. I think it's a really good hire because Nagy is there and he's going to be the number one offensive guy with the Bears, and he's already earned his stripes, so to speak. I think the potential for innovation that Helfrich brings, the ability to work with option quarterbacks is going to be something really strong. But I do need to remind everybody that Chip Kelly was a galactic bust in two different stops in the NFL, and that in general, college spread offenses don't work in the NFL. He's not being brought to Chicago to put in a spread offense for the Chicago Bears. I think he's being hired for his innovative mind and his ability to take elements of the spread option and work it into Nagy's West Coast offense.
Yeah, you nailed it. I think Andy Reid and Matt Nagy started doing that last year in Kansas City, a ton of run-pass options. Getting Alex Smith outside the pocket, a lot of misdirection, just getting Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, those playmakers, into space where they're best. So it makes a ton of sense to me. He's got almost 20 years of college experience, and actually the first 3 years at Oregon after Chip Kelly left were pretty good for Mark Helfrich. He bottomed out after Marcus Mariota left, and I don't think that's really going to surprise anyone. So it's exciting. And for Mitch Trubisky, of course, too, who ran almost exclusively a spread at North Carolina, you would imagine that Helfrich is going to be a huge asset for him. And I just get back to words from Ryan Pace's introduction, of Nagy, including innovative, outside-the-box thinking. That's just kind of what these first couple hires illustrate to me, and it's exciting. And let's not understate the importance of having head coaching experience, even at the college level, that Helfrich is going to be able to bring as Nagy's starting to learn how to juggle more responsibilities and have more on his plate.
Yeah, and I think the other piece of this before we get to the elephant in the room, if you will, is when you look, people want to argue that Alex Smith is not an elite quarterback, and I don't want to have that argument because he's probably not an elite quarterback. But he has been a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback since 2013 with the Chiefs, Nagy working with him that entire time. And if you asked me for the top NFL quarterback who Mitch Trubisky's skill sets best resemble, it would be Alex Smith with a bigger arm. Trubisky's definitely got a bigger arm than Alex Smith, but Alex Smith is probably the best of the athletic quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Cam Newton, would be number one, but Cam Newton isn't nearly the
Russell
passer.
Russell Wilson would be number two, but he's right up there.
Cam Newton is not nearly the passer that Alex Smith is, and I don't think that Russell Wilson is the runner that Alex Smith is, and I don't know that he's the passer either, to be honest with you. I think Alex Smith is one of the most underrated players in the NFL, but that's a different story probably for the Pro Football Weekly podcast, not this one. My point would be with Nagy working with Smith and the reverence that they hold for each other, and Trubisky possessing that skill set plus, because I do think he's got a bigger arm than Alex Smith. And when you look at what Nagy accomplished with Smith, I think that's probably the most exciting part of all of this.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a great call by you. There's a lot of carryover there and what they're going to look to do with Mitch Trubisky. And just the fact that Andy Reid and Nagy and Brad Childress were able to coax this career year out of Alex Smith, I don't think anyone debates this was his finest hour in year 13 in the NFL. And to me, the biggest part of his immense improvement was looking to push the ball downfield. And I think at the top of the list for what you're going to want to look on for Mitch Trubisky to build on in year two, it's got to be to get a little bit more vertical. And granted, it's not all on him. Maybe this is for a separate podcast, but clearly the arrival of Mark Helfrich and sort of as this scheme starts to crystallize a little bit, it's as apparent now as ever that the Bears need more speed and they need more playmakers on the outside in particular to get the most out of Trubisky too. But again, that vertical element that was introduced or sort of amplified in the Kansas City offense last season is exactly what the Bears are going to be looking to put into theirs this year.
All right. I mentioned the elephant in the room. Matt Nagy has a chance to be successful with the Chicago Bears, regardless of who he puts together in his first go at assembling a coaching staff. But there is no doubt, I believe, in his and Ryan Pace's mind, from everything I've heard them say, there is no doubt in at least half the players in that Bears locker room's mind, and there is little doubt in Bear Nation's mind, that the best hire he could make would be to be able to retain Vic Fangio as his defensive coordinator. Now, I told you and Eric, I think 2 weeks ago, there was no way Fangio was going to Green Bay, in spite of what we heard there. I've known that all along. Wasn't an option, and that's why the Packers moved to hire Mike Pettine without Vic Fangio having made a decision. What I'm hearing as of our recording here is that the Bears are doing everything in their power to get that done. They believe it's better than 50-50 that they'll be able to get it done, but 50-50 is 50-50. Better than that is good, but it's still not done. It's not a disaster if they don't, but if they can retain Vic Fangio, I think everybody in Lake Forest is going to be thrilled out of their minds, and I think Bears Nation is going to be a pretty excited place based on everything else that's happened this week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It almost feels like this could be sort of a fortuitous chain of events for the Bears in regard to Fangio. The Packers, like you said, go get Mike Pettine. The Chargers bring back Gus Bradley. Of course, there's five other head coaching vacancies that are going to need to be filled, and we'll see what the ripple effect of that is at defensive coordinator. But that's all the more reason. That's one of the biggest advantages of the Bears moving so quickly with Nagy, is maybe they can lock up Fangio. Just very quickly, the offense, we're seeing a sea change, and it was needed, obviously. They are wiping the slate clean and starting over. The defense doesn't need that. It needs continuity with Vic Fangio, the first unit to finish top 10 in yards and points allowed since Lovie Smith's final season. There's a familiarity there. And the last thing I would say, Hub was the first person to mention the parallels, the potential parallels between the 2017 Rams and the 2018 Bears. And if they bring back Vic Fangio, it's just going to remind me so much of what Sean McVay did, retaining John Fossil, and then Wade Phillips fell into his lap. Get past all the personnel stuff, the young offensive mind, but the way he built his staff, I can see so many similarities if they're able to get Fangio back. And the last thing I'll say very quickly, Hub, there's a report out of the desert that the Bears' backup plan would be James Betcher, the Cardinals' defensive coordinator, and I like him a lot, too. So I think Vic is the best-case scenario, but I was pretty encouraged to hear that name, James Betcher, as the backup plan.
I like him, too. But my understanding is he's a candidate for the head job there, and he's also somebody that any Cardinals head coach would be strongly encouraged to keep as well.
Sure.
But it's a good name to hear. The other name that I've heard, and it's again intriguing, is Chuck Pagano, who nobody's talking about, who was a hell of a defensive coordinator before he became the head coach in Indianapolis. But clearly the name everybody wants is Vic Fangio. And yep. What's intriguing, Arthur, you mentioned five other head coaching jobs. Our understanding, I don't know that it's been confirmed yet, is that Paul Gunther of Cincinnati will go with John Gruden
confirmed
to Oakland.
By Gruden on
All right,
Tuesday.
So it's good that that's confirmed,
yep.
Because the biggest concern, my understanding, is that Vic Fangio had with Chicago is that it wasn't California.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that job is filled, now I could see where Arizona could be appealing, but I think the more you spin this thing now, sources are telling me, but Vic isn't one of those sources, that he is beginning to see the wisdom in staying here. The thing that Bears fans need to understand about this, I've been accused of having a love affair with Fangio. I don't know him well personally. Much like you said, the Bears' offensive line may have underachieved. I don't know if that's fair or not. I think it was injuries. I think it was Cody Whitehair getting bounced all over the place, although I still wish Whitehair had played better in his second year. I am not a Charles Leno fan. This defense overachieved significantly.
There
is
some, several years
there is some exciting talent here. There's no
yep.
question about that. But if this talent is as exciting without Vic Fangio, I'm not so sure. Now, James Betcher is a really good name. There are other good names out there. But the ability to retain Fangio, to keep continuity in the locker room, to not make this all radical change, because there's going to be radical change on offense, it would be a big thing if they can get it done. And what I'm at least encouraged by is that talking to Ryan Pace, both on and off the record, and I haven't actually had a one-on-one with Matt Nagy yet, but just being around and hearing everything he's had to say so far, I believe that they genuinely are focused on doing everything in their power to get Fangio back. And my sense is that that may be enough. Hopefully I'm not getting overconfident, but my sense is that that may be enough.
Yeah, it's the continuity. I don't think we can harp on the importance of that enough. We saw some of the growing pains that certain players experienced in switching from 4-3 ends to 3-4 outside linebackers. And there's the potential, of course. Now, Chuck Pagano and James Betcher also both run 30 fronts, and yes, those are totally overrated because NFL teams spend 60-plus percent of the time in even fronts in their nickel packages, but still, to not have to install a whole new scheme with new verbiage. I mean, there's no doubt that you have a better chance of maintaining the great progress that you have made. The Bears have made, that is, by keeping Vic. So we'll see if it does come to fruition. And I got to say, if Fangio's back, it probably helps guys like Kyle Fuller, who had a profound awakening under Vic Fangio. I believe a lot of Vic Fangio's tough love 2 years ago played a huge part in Fuller's breakout season. Guys like Christian Jones, other free agents to be, you rehash on the familiarity there, and I think that can only help their cause if these are guys that Bears fans would like to see back on the defense in 2018 as well.
We're in the presence of royalty here. The one and only Wayne Messner has walked into the studio as we record, and it just I have to stop. Now, I've been in the business 40 years, and there's maybe three or four voices along with the people that go with it that you recognize, and have been just such a huge fan for so long that I'm kind of starry-eyed here right now. So I'm just
stopping for a second. This is a podcast, but I'm watching Hub be starry-eyed. I don't see that very often. So
Wayne,
that's pretty cool.
I hate to do this. I'm going to spring this on you, Wayne. I know you're a fan. And maybe you could just join us for a second here. We're doing our Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Obviously, big change football-wise. I know you're better recognized with the Cubs and the Blackhawks, but I know you're a fan. Any reaction to what you've seen so far with what the Bears are doing?
I don't know the new coach yet. I haven't met him, only through reputation. And I don't want to be sarcastic and say this is the guy that they hired to fire in 3 years. I'm hoping for the best.
He's a Bears fan, I can tell.
Yeah, it's this town goes nuts when the Bears win, and I think we're all ready for it.
There are a few people I know who can speak more about the sports culture in Chicago and about fans in general and everything that we've come to know. And when they say it's a Bears and a Cubs town, I think we know that. And clearly they're taking it by storm with these moves that they're making.
Yeah, it's they made an investment with Mitch. And, if they're going to stick with him, then give him somebody to throw to and give a few monsters to protect him, too.
Thank you so much. I sprung this on you. I saw you standing in the door. Now, if I was a real toad, I'd ask you to sing for us. I'm not going to do that.
you caught me in the middle of a something going on here, so I won't kiss you hello.
I wouldn't do that. But Wayne, thank you so much for taking a second for us.
For the land of the free and the home of the
Arthur, we're getting near the end here, so I just want to get back to the one thing we haven't discussed all that much, which is the talent piece. There are decisions to make. Fortunately, not a ton of free agency decisions to make, but a couple real big ones. You've got to decide on Kyle Fuller, on Prince Amukamara, and Christian Jones. I think, to me, those are the three keys. You've got Patrick O'Donnell, the punter, is the only other really significant one. They're not going to lose
the Bears are hoping they're not going to need Pat O'Donnell as much as they have in the past few years.
Well, and they're not going to lose.
Not that he's a bad punter. He's been fine. He's improved.
Yeah, and they're not going to lose a bidding war on Pat O'Donnell, so you don't worry about that. I think he'll be back. I can't for the life of me get my arms around what Kyle Fuller is thinking, or for that matter, what Ryan Pace is thinking. I don't think Matt Nagy's had an opinion or can have an opinion at this point. But again, this is one of the keys to getting Fangio back, because I was really impressed with how highly Vic spoke of him late in the season, after clearly there was a problem in that relationship in 2016.
Yeah, I hope what they're thinking is franchise tag, actually, because the more I think about it, I think it's the most logical outcome here. You see if Fuller can replicate his career year before you go all in on him, and Fuller probably won't be too disappointed either. I think he's only 27 or 28. It's a good chance to take a huge one-year pay bump and then still have a chance to really hit the jackpot. So they need to bring him back, whether it's on a long-term deal or the franchise tag. I think losing him would be a big step back after the progress he made. So the other one's not quite as big, and we'll be able to get into all that type of stuff more. And we'll talk more, I'm sure, on the coming podcast, too, about the Mitch Trubisky-Matt Nagy connection, because Nagy was impressive in saying what he had learned about Trubisky in his pre-draft evaluations when he was still with the Chiefs, and he brought those notes into his interview with Ryan Pace, and I know that resonated with Pace, and again, just a lot of the similarities between what these guys want to do. But yeah, we'll have plenty of time all offseason to have all those discussions, and I'm looking forward to it, because it just feels like there's sort of a re-energizing right now with this Bears organization. It may amount to another unsuccessful season, who knows, but right now it certainly feels refreshing with a fresh face now running the franchise.
For those who are wondering, the Bears have about $49 million in available cap space. They will clear roughly another $23 million with the expected releases of Mike Glennon, Pernell McPhee, and Jarrell Freeman, none of which will have much of a negative impact on them on the field.
Right.
Although they do need to get a pass rusher badly. Of course, McPhee's not on the field enough for him to be the difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
And the cap is expected to go up by $8 to $10 million. So the Bears are going to have
great shape there.
$70 million roughly. There is no excuse if they choose to not to re-sign both cornerbacks and still have plenty of money to go after difference makers and pass rusher at wide receiver if that's the route they're going to go.
Yep.
We need to put a wrap on this thing. I know there's another.
Before we do, Hub, I just want to very quickly say today is the 100th Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, and we've got thank yous to get out. We tried to book a couple guests to come on and talk about Matt Nagy this week. We're still going to work on getting those guests, but gosh, how lucky were we to have the great Wayne Mesmer come in and make an unexpected appearance on our 100th Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. That is like that's just awesome. You couldn't even ask for better.
I wish you had reminded me, because now I would have asked him to sing Happy Birthday. But you know, it's I guess, you know, we all have our moments, and you know, I'm around a lot of football players, a lot of coaches, but every time I hear that man sing the national anthem, I just get kind of tingly, and it is really neat to you know, be in the same room with him. So we thank Wayne for stopping by.
And we also want to give a huge thank you to our producer, Dan Mott. He is he keeps us kind of going in the right direction all the time. I don't know where we'd be without him. He makes sure we're sounding as good as we do on the podcast each week. And other thank yous as well to the listeners. Of course, they get the biggest thank you, and we would ask them one more time to head to iTunes and help this thing keep building. Subscribe to us, leave us a rating and a review while you're there. And yeah, it's just really fun to get to do this, and I look forward to hopefully doing 100 more podcasts and just continuing to build on what we've done so far.
Yeah, Matt is actually the whole show, but I don't want his head to get too big, so I'm trying to be careful here. But we would absolutely be lost without Dan. There's no question about that. This is more his baby than ours. And also, we should thank John Sally, who's also instrumental in most of our podcast work, and everybody at Shaw for letting us get this done. So thank you all so much for listening. We do appreciate it. As I think Arthur mentioned, if you want to give us a review or get a subscription, we would love that as well. And we will be back with edition 101 next week as the Bears coaching staff continues to take shape. We get some more ideas about where they're going talent-wise. But that'll do it for this week's edition of Pro Football Weekly Chicago.